This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Thank you, Johnny. Well, bump your neighbor and say, you look amazing this morning. Yeah. Heard somebody say they're not too shabby. Good stuff. Well, thank you. Thank you for choosing to be here this morning. We know you could be many places. And we just bless you for choosing church. And I'm so excited. I tell you, Sundays are my favorite day of the week. I can't wait for Sundays. I was telling Stefan yesterday as well. Our kids are growing up on the property here. And it's like every second night there's an event or a function or a volleyball thing or last night we were at the rollball club. You know, it was just they are having a blast. And they keep on asking me, Dad, when is it Sunday? I'm like, only two more sleeps. Yes. And I tell you, if you're a pastor, then that's the best thing you can hear. Is if your kids want to go to church. So I just praise God. And we're just so blessed to be able to serve you amazing people in this amazing place. I just got two announcements that I want to do for us before we start. The first is, Fiona, you can just flight those. The first is we're having a church picnic next week. Woo-hoo! Yeah. So you'll see the lawn is nice and green. We're getting it ready for you. So next week, we're going large, we're going to have an amazing outside service. You can bring your picnic basket, your little blankie. For the older folk, that's from my age and up. there will be chairs and there'll be some nice tables that you can sit at as well. And for the really older folk, there'll be comfy couches in the corner of there. That's for you, Tani Jan. I didn't want to say it, but there you said it. I tell you, if we can all look like you at your age, then God is good to us. So the church picnic, we're very excited. And remember, I spoke about fellowship and the importance of fellowship for us. And this is one of the key opportunities you can have to meet other folk in church. And man, there'll be jumping castles for the kids and some of the adults if you want to do that as well. And lots of games and popcorn machines and the whole works. So it's going to be lots of fun next week, 9 o'clock. Remember your little picnic goodies. Then importantly, we'll be buying some hamburgers as well. There'll be 60 hamburgers. Whoever wants them, you can go and get them. I'm just mentioning that there'll be some extra food as well that you can enjoy. So next week, the church picnic, very excited about that. And then very exciting, okay? We're starting with youth, okay? It's you, Devin, come on, you can give me a... Yeah. So we just started with youth before COVID gave us a bit of a hiding with our volunteer base, and we have to had to shift them from youth to the kids' church to keep things going. But the good news is our kids' church, like I said, we're averaging about 50 kids on a Sunday now, and they're getting older and older. And so we need a youth group. And so we're starting with that. And Justin and Carla and Jolene are starting initiating that for us. We're going to rope in a whole lot of other people. We're starting with once a month, and we got some amazing things lined up for our youth. And so the first one is on the 18th of February. Kort en krachtig, 5:30 to 7:00. So parents, you can still have a Friday date night or whatever you do on a Friday night, but you're going to first bring your youth to church. And importantly, we're going to be meeting up at the Healing Center. We're going to start kitting out that area there at the bottom to be great for the youth. So we've got two groups that are running. It's grade 5 to 12. Age 10 to 18. And we're going to split them up because obviously they're... the kind of levels of interaction are slightly different. So, who's excited about the youth? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. About 5 of us. Next week, there's going to be 10. Okay. Awesome. Guys, it's my privilege to once again share the word with you. 2 weeks ago, Jolene preached an amazing word about crossing over, just prophetically, and just the season that that we're going into. And then I kind of followed up last week with kind of a tag team message, and I said, I wanted to share a couple of keys to taking your promised land. We spoke about our promised land. What is our promised land? It's what Ephesians 2:10 says, all those good works that God has prepared for us beforehand, that we as a church, corporately and individually, should walk in. And so we want to really hit the bullseye this year. We don't want any wasted days. We don't want days to happen to us. We want us to happen to days. Okay? We want to wake up with a sense of purpose. 2022 is going to be a year of immense productivity. There are not going to be no regrets. We want minimal regrets. We want to hit it hard. We want the kingdom to come in our lives, in this church in 2022. And so we need to take our 2022 promised land. And so we spoke a little bit about what are some of the keys that we can learn from this amazing narrative of Joshua and his people taking their promised land. What are some of the keys that we can glean, that we can pick out and apply to our lives in terms of taking our promised land? The first thing that I shared last week is there will be fear factors in your promised land. It's a given. If you're not afraid, you're probably not in your promised land. You're in your comfort zone, okay? So promised land, there are giants, there are fortified cities. There will be things that intimidate you. And that's kind of par for the course. If you play golf, that's a couple of us here. That's standard. You will get giants. But what I shared with you is that even though all those Israelites were kind of scared and just Joshua and Caleb stood up, the word says that when they kind of crossed over, the people, the enemy's hearts melted with fear and they were paralyzed because of what Yahweh did for the Israelites. And I propose that we are often afraid, but I think the enemy is more afraid of Christ in us. And that's why we get obstacles. That's why we get discouraged. That's why I shared with you what's going on in the property, on the property, around the property at the moment. We, for the first time in 4 years that we've been here, we're attracting occultic activity. And I shared with you, we've had 3 pentagram rocks thrown over with messages on the thing. And we thought it was fine. And so this week, me and Jolene went for another little walkabout. And we found some more little messages. And so they even drew on our intercom, a pentagram. Wow. I was like, wow. You know, it's one thing to give us pentagrams, but when you start drawing on our intercom, you know, that's going to upset Stefan. It took a lot of time to put our intercom up. But like I said to you last week, all it means is two things. Number one, we need to step up in the spirit because there is a bit of a contention in the spirit, and the enemy can sense what's going on. He senses that we are pushing through in the spirit. He senses what's happening that's lying in wait. All the lives are going to be changed through the healing center. And like the word says, he's nervous. He's paralyzed with fear. And so now, yeah, amen, he's starting to show his hand. And if you've been a Christian for a while, then you know when kingdom is clashing against kingdom and these things start happening, this is actually good news for the kingdom. But it does mean we need to be wakey-wakey, okay? In the spirit, as Christians, we must realize there is a roaring lion. And if they open windows, yeah, you got to watch out. But I tell you, it's an exciting time. And so now is the time. So me and Jolene, we took a massive bottle of olive oil and we just threw it all over the place and splashed it all over the pentagrams. And we blessed those who curse us. We're going to love them. We're going to pray for them to come into the kingdom. And so it's exciting times. I'm telling you, the enemy is nervous of what's happening. Number one. Number two, just after, he spoke about the fear, then we said there was that uncomfortable issue of the circumcision. Okay. I said, praise God. We don't do normal circumcision anymore. We do circumcision of the heart. That's what God is speaking about. He's talking about the circumcision of the heart. And so we spoke about the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And we said, we really need to guard our hearts what comes in and what comes out is like a traffic cop. He said, you may not come in, you may come in. You keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. That was the second key. Today I'm wanting to share key 3 and 4. And we're carrying on with that story with Joshua chapter 5. I'm going to read you from verse 10, reading out of the Message. It says, "The people of Israel continued to camp at the Gilgal. They celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the plains of Jericho. Right away, the day after the Passover, they started eating the produce of that country, unraised bread and roasted grain, and no more manna. The manna stopped. As soon as they started eating food grown in the land, there was no more manna for the people of Israel. That year, they ate from the crops of Canaan." Great, you got that up there. A couple of words I just want to lift out here for us. The first word is continue to camp. Everywhere say, continued to camp. Continue to camp. Okay, so I'm saying this slightly tongue-in-cheek, but there does seem to be a biblical and a historical precedent for church camps. Amen? Amen, amen. Okay, so in a month's time, we've got our church camp. Okay. It's an age-old church tradition that we enter into. But I tell you, if you haven't signed up, all the glamping spots were taken up within 24 hours. It just tells you where society is at these days, you know. But there's still many camping spots. I suspect the Israelites were more campers than glampers. And I suspect they didn't have super tubes, but I think they had poiki course competitions. Amen. So in a month's time, we're gonna be going on that camp. You got about this week to decide if you want to join us, and there's still some spots there. But there's this thing about that this camping represents, and it represents the ability to be flexible and to move. Okay? When you're taking your promised land, when God spoke to Abraham, the first thing that he said to him is, pick up and move. So when we're taking our promised land, when we're taking 2022, I want to propose to us that we really need to, in a sense, be flexible, hold things loosely, and have a prompt and an implicit obedience to the Holy Spirit. You must be able to like when you camp. Camping represents I'm not staying there. Okay, it means I've got the ability to, within 2 or 3 hours, pack up and say, where to now, Jesus? Okay, now I'm not speaking to you as in terms of people in front of you. Please don't move anywhere, okay? We have sent many people to other places. Okay? It's now the time that people come to Franschhoek. But what I'm saying is one of the keys that we can learn here is that the Israelites were on the move. As soon as you often stand still and get in a rut and get comfortable, I kind of want to hold before us that I really think the Lord wants us to be flexible, adjustable. And if the Lord says now, it's pick and pay, it's now, you need to share with that person at that till we're able to move there. And so just being able to be flexible and to move, continue to camp. The second word I want to hold before us is celebrated. They celebrated. Everyone say celebrated. Okay. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. There used to be an amazing song that we used to sing. Maybe Ramona can lead us next time in that one. But celebration, I want to say, is, in my opinion, very underrated in terms of the offensive. The people of God need to be a people who celebrate. You know, sometimes we sit as if we've sucked 1,000 lemons in church. You know, and it's terrible, but we kind of inherit this. And I remember back in the days when I was kind of a fledgling worship leader, and I suppose I sometimes do it as well these days, but I remember the pastors used to come up to me and they're just like, please, just smile on stage. It's nice to worship Jesus, okay? Just tell your face. It's nice. It's nice to be in church. And so I had to kind of train myself, you know. Just celebrate. The presence of God is a happy place. In His presence, there is fullness of joy, okay? I told you last time, I I have many happy places. The beach is one of them. But I tell you, the happiest place we can be, like genuinely, I'm talking about from here, when you're happy, not because you've got an ice cream in your hand. When you're really, really happy, it's when it's a deeper level of happiness, the happiness in the spirit. And it happens in God's presence. And often it happens with God's people. So celebration is really key. And I want to tell you here that a key for us taking our promised land is the ability, like they did, they were able to celebrate, listen to this, on the plains of Jericho. They celebrated on the plains of Jericho. The plains of Jericho is the flat section, okay? The fortified city is where their enemies are sitting. Now, I would say that their enemies could see exactly what they're doing because they are looking down on these people in the plains. And so they cross over and God says, now is the time to celebrate. While your enemies watch you, now is the time to celebrate. And this is, for me, kind of counter-instinctual. This would not be my war strategy. I would be like, find some rock or some ant heap or something to hide behind. And God says, no, no, no. There where everybody can see you, celebrate me. Celebrate me in the presence of your enemies. Doesn't that sound familiar? Psalm 23. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Okay, the message says it even better. It says, you serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. Okay. Again, I really feel the Lord is wanting us to see the fact that the one who lives inside of us is much bigger than the one who lives or who controls this world. And many of us are bound by fear. That's what we prayed through last week, and we kind of run from place to place, and we intimidated day after day, and the devil sells us a lie, and we fall for the bait. And so we shrink back. But if the story is to believe, God is trying to make a point that when I'm with you, your enemies will be afraid. Okay? And so he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, and he wants us to celebrate. I remember when we moved back to Cape Town, 2007, end of 2007, Jolene and I got married, and I'd been in Pretoria for nearly 10 years working there. And, you know, any opportunity you came down to Cape Town. It was like basically cry on the way home again. And then you'd wait for your next trip to Cape Town. And then Jolene kind of landed this job in Cape Town, and I started applying for work, and I eventually found work here. And I remember that first three months of just being in Cape Town again. We stayed there in Sea Point, and I used to drive from our Sea Point flat kind of around the hill, and I'd look over the whole of Table Bay, and then I'd go into city, go and do my work for the day, and then I'd drive back. The first 3 months, I actually thought I was permanently on holiday. It was incredible. And I remember it was a time of our lives where we just celebrated everything. And we said to one another, we are going to celebrate anything. If you like, have a good day at work, we'd go and celebrate. We'd hit it with a Monday night Spur special. On a Tuesday night, we'd look for, I don't know, Ocean Basket special. Back in those days, we didn't have kids, so we could go out every night. But we would just club one special after the other. And we celebrated life. It felt like one big celebration for 2 years. Obviously, when the kids come along, it's a different kind of celebration, but the handbrake comes up a little bit. But I just remember us being so intentional about celebration. I want to say that I think if we're going to have an amazing 2022, it's going to be with a lot of celebration. But we need to tell ourselves, and we need to be intentional about celebrating, and even celebrating in the presence of our enemies. Right now, it feels like, who's looking at us? Who's targeting us? Now is not the time to shrink back. Now is the time to sing louder. Now is the time to praise more. Now is the time to have more amazing times. This week, Dirkie and them aren't here, but about 2 weeks ago, Dirkie and Mallory, they're small group leaders here with us, Dirkie phoned me and he said, I got a weird request. I said, shoot. And he said, I I want to celebrate my birthday with a praise and worship evening. I'm like, hallelujah, let's do it. And then he said, but before that, I want to play volleyball. I'm sort of like, let's go for it. And I honestly thought, so this was this Wednesday, and I honestly thought it's going to be Durkee and perhaps some of his small group members. You know, I thought, we'll be 6 or 8 people or whatever, you know, playing a bit of volleyball, and we'll be a tiny little group here in church. I don't know, word got out, and in the end, there were 4 small groups here, and we were like half the church playing volleyball here, and we were braying, and the kids were running around, and then we had an amazing worship night, and it was just so spontaneous, but it was just such a beautiful picture of the people of God celebrating life, you know, and Durkee gave this impromptu speech, and he just celebrated the goodness of God. And I want to say, I just thought that is prophetic of what needs to happen this year. The people of God celebrated on the plains of Jericho, but they celebrated something specific. They celebrated the Passover. Okay, let's just have a look at this. There's a historical context for the Passover. It's Exodus 12. I'm going to read that for us. It says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Verse 26, and it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. They celebrated something specific. They celebrated the Passover. The Passover was an Old Testament, how can I say, it was a mega highlight in the calendar, in the history of the nation. This is the moment that God came and delivered his people from 400 years plus of bondage and slavery. This was the night that the Lord said, enough is enough. I've sent my prophet. I've sent Aaron. I've sent Moses. I have come against this man with a hard heart, this Pharaoh, and he will not listen. I have shown my might, and I save this last act of power to show that I will deliver my people from their misery, and I will pass over the houses and the homes and the firstborns of Egypt, and I will deliver my people. And so, you know the story. Unleavened bread is just a symbol of they got to make haste. They got to cook an unblemished sheep, not in water, not raw. It must be cooked in the fire with everything. Everything must be eaten. Everything that is left must be burned. Clear instructions given for this particular feast. And so there comes this particular feast where God delivers his nation, not from 2 years of tyranny, not from a bad run by a bad president like we sometimes have. I'm talking about 400 years of slavery, where the nation had lost their identity. They didn't even know who they were anymore because the bondage had been so extensive and so long. And it comes out with a celebration of the Passover. And so they celebrate the Passover. And the Passover is about remembrance. I want to say, as we go into 2022, the amazing thing about going forward is the ability to look back and see the faithfulness of God, because when you do that, it gives you vuma, okay? It gives you faith to say, wow, I look behind me. I see your goodness. I see your mercy. Surely, God, if you did that for me there, if you did that for my small group people, if you need to feed off the testimonies of your own household, you need to feed off the testimonies of the people around you. That's why testimonies is not a good way to start a meeting. Testimonies are God's idea to remind us of his faithfulness. Because if you're a little bit like me, I forget. We forget the goodness of God. I remember, Jolene and I, we used to keep a prayer journal, and we would pray every week, and we'd make a little list. And I remember going, then you'd go for a whole year, and then sometimes you would just kind of scroll through that journal, and you would go, oh my goodness, remember how stressed out we were on that Monday morning when we prayed. And then the very next week, God came through for us. And then you pray, and then you page, and then you see it again. And I don't know why, but we forgetful people. We are forgetful in our nature. And when we remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, it changes us. And so that's what the Passover is about. It's about the remembrance. And so the Passover, and this is what I want to hold before us, because technically we still celebrate the Passover. We're going to celebrate it this morning as we once again commit this year to the Lord. But we don't call it the Passover anymore. You see, the Passover is the Exodus picture. But the Passover gets replaced by, firstly, the Last Supper. And the Last Supper becomes the Lord's Supper. So number one, you've got the Passover. When Jesus comes on the scene, he has many suppers. They say Jesus was eventually killed for who he ate with. Okay, Jesus ate with a lot of people, and he often ate with the wrong crowd. And often because he hung out with the wrong crowd, he got the backs up of those that were plotting to eventually kill him because he was outside of the box. He did a lot of things that just completely offended them. Eventually, he said things that just, they tore their clothes and they just like blasphemy. But Jesus was the one who had many suppers with his disciples. And eventually, he has the Last Supper. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke cover this story. And so it's a really important story as I kind of come to a close now. Matthew 26. Now on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" It was their culture, their tradition. Mark 14:12. Now on the first day of Unleavened Bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" Luke 22:7, the Passover must be killed. You see, when you celebrated Passover, something needed to die. Something needed to die. So synonymous with the Passover was the killing of something innocent. Not just something innocent, something unblemished. Remember what Malachi fights with the people and says, "What do you bring to me? You bring that with spot and wrinkle. You bring me the blemished. When you bring your offering, I want you to bring the unblemished." And so at the Passover, they needed to bring the unblemished, the kind of the one-year-old little lamb. The unblemished lamb is prophetically indicating to the unblemished Christ. And so Jesus becomes the final lamb that is slaughtered at the final Passover. He becomes the unblemished lamb that takes the place of lambs that have been slaughtered year after year for the sins of Israel. And 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 covers this so nicely. Paul's speaking, and he's actually speaking to the church in Corinth. He's fighting them about severe sexual immorality in their midst, such as not even being seen with the Gentiles. And the context there is that, and he says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, the old ways, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened." Listen to this. "For indeed Christ, our Passover." Everyone say, "Christ, our Passover." "Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." And so Paul calls Jesus the Passover. He calls him the Passover. And so the symbolism here for us as we contemplate another year is that we truly can be set free from bondage and slavery. See, some of us sitting here this morning are free. I'd like to think most of us are free. Some of us are mostly free. Some of us are fighting a couple of things that people know about. Some of us are fighting habits and even addictions that nobody knows about. And some of us are like, it's one-way traffic. We don't have any control. That's generally what goes on in any room where there are even Christians, okay? And so this speaks about slavery. See, some of us are slaves to something. We're not the master, we're the slave. And so the enemy rolls in and he calls the shots. And we're a little bit like those Israelites. We're in bondage and we need a savior to come set us free. And that's why when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is just the picture of the Old Testament Passover, those are the moments when you bring and you pull in the most powerful symbolism into the midst of your problem. And you bring the blood of Jesus and the broken body of Jesus into whatever you're facing. And the enemy recognizes, okay, he or she's not fighting in their own strength anymore. They're actually pulling the cross into the center of their problems. When you're going through a difficult time, good time to have communion often. Paul, in fact, said, do this as often as you come together. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we try and do it as often as practically as possible. I want to encourage you, small group leaders, go for gold. Have communion as often as you can. It's so powerful, and it's the high point of Christian worship when we celebrate the Lord's body that was broken for us. I want to close with one final thought. Right after this issue of celebrating the Passover, the word says, I'm going to read that for us, verse 11 and 12. Right away, the day after the Passover, they started eating the produce of that country, unraised bread and roasted grain, and then no more manna. The manna stopped. As soon as they started eating food grown in the land, there was no more manna for the people of Israel. That year, they ate from the crops of Canaan. What often happens when we cross over, what often happens when we start taking our promised land, is that we are called into a level of maturity that perhaps we've not been walking in. Perhaps you have found yourself, Jesus, where's the provision? Jesus, where's the manna? We panic every day when there's not manna, when there's not quail. And so, Jesus, you didn't bring it right outside my doorstep. And God is saying, that was yesterday. Today, you're going to hunt for food because I've blessed this land with all the resources that you need. Today, you plant vineyards. Yes, it means you're going to roll up your sleeves. And yes, we're going to be doing things differently now. I am sensing as we take our promised land, get ready for doing things differently. Amen. I got two amens. Amen. Amen. I'm sensing that in the next season, as we crossed over, as we take our promised land, I want to kind of give you a prophetic heads up. Get ready to think and act differently. Get ready to do things outside of the box. If this story is anything to believe, it calls for change. It says, not in 2 weeks' time, it says, right. The New King James says, the very next day after they had the Passover, things changed. And we were having lunch with an old colleague of mine. I'll close with this story this week. And I haven't seen him probably. We see each other kind of once every 5 years. He's a special guy and kind of a friend and a mentor to me. He's the guy that gave me my very first job. And he's the guy that taught me a whole lot of things. You know, when you come out of university, you've actually just got standard 11. Okay, you actually know nothing. And somebody takes a risk and actually initially pays money to equip you to learn something. Okay? And he's the guy that did that for me. I want to tell you, the person that gave you your first job, bless them and thank them, because actually they did you a favor because you knew nothing. Okay? And they took a risk on you. Those are special people. And it's amazing. It's like it's 20 years later, and I still often think of this guy, and I often thank the Lord for everything I learned, because back then I was just like a sponge, just learning everything I was doing, and body language, how to handle meetings, how to handle conflict, how to do presentations, how to stand up in massive board meetings and put your point across. You know, I learned all those things from him. The other thing that he taught me was golf, okay? I praise God for that. He taught me to eat curry as well. I'd never eaten anything hot in my life. The first curry meal, I nearly died. But he was persistent, and after a few weeks, I don't know if all my taste buds were burnt away, but anyway, I started eating curry, and I'm still thankful for that. I learned a lot from this person. And so he calls me 2 weeks ago and says he's going to be in Cape Town. He lives in Joburg, and he says, can we just meet up? I'm like, whenever this guy's in town, I shift whatever's in my diary. I said, you name the place and the date, I'll be there. And we just went and had a breakfast, and he just shared with me and Jolene, and I always listen to what he says, and he's kind of high up in a kind of a corporate environment, and he had to do a presentation for the African continent just around the future of I was in logistics, so it's kind of railroad and the future of transport across our continent, and he went and did this interesting study. And he studied the 10 years after most pandemics in the last 400 years. And he said that the 10 years after a pandemic generally tends to be 10 years of extreme innovation, growth, and development. It's 10 years of amazing opportunity. And I'm sitting there, and because Jolene and I, we're walking to this breakfast appointment, and she's like, what's the agenda? Because we're like, every meeting's got to have an agenda. We don't just have time to have breakfast. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's going on here? I said, I don't know. He didn't say anything. He just said, can we have breakfast? And so now we're sitting there. I'm like, God, what do you want to say through him to us? And what do you want to say through us to him? Because that's our meetings. We want the Holy Spirit in every meeting. Whether we're chilling at the beach, there must be some divine purpose. The kingdom must come in everything. And so we're sitting there, and I'm like, Lord, he's not saying anything. And we're like an hour into the meeting. It's just small talk and this and that and curry and golf and that type of thing. And then he drops this thing about the next 10 years. And both Joan, Lean, and I knew that's why we went to the meeting. Because he gave us kind of the benefit of a massive study, and I took it and I said, yes, I don't know what the next few months looks like, but I know the next few years, if this study is to believe, it's an opportunity for us to behold. And so get ready for change. And I felt prophetically that word wasn't just for me. It's actually for us as a church. I think that the next few months, years, there are going to be opportunities for us to snatch up. I even felt this morning in my spirit, just the word entrepreneurial activities, where we do something we never thought we would do. And then we grasp opportunities that are going to be there for us. But in order to do that, like these Israelites, we need to not sit there and wait and say, Jesus, where's the quail? Where's the manna? You dropped it here yesterday. I'm expecting what you did yesterday to be like it's going to be tomorrow. I feel like God is saying for some of us, I'm not saying for all of us, for some of us, it's the end of the manna season. And it's the Canaan season. The Canaan season is my blessing. Go and taste and see that I am good. Okay, but in order to go and taste and see, you actually have to go and taste and see. God's not going to drop the grapes next to your tent. You need to go and walk, perhaps fight a few giants to get to your grapes. But do you guys hear what I'm saying? I feel there's a prophetic season lying ahead for us as we take our steps into our promised land. So let's pray together. Lord, yeah, Lord, a lot's been said this morning, and I'm to pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would distill in every heart that which is for them. Father, I want to once again pray for anybody that's still intimidated by fear of the giants and the cities in their promised land. Father, I want to ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would remind them of who lives in them, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us, that greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world, that we really need no longer to be intimidated by the voices of doom and gloom, but that we would fix our eyes and our ears to the Word of God. And just see how many times, Lord, if you come through us, may we feed on your faithfulness. May we feed on the faithfulness of God, and may we be a people of faith. May we be Joshua's. May we be Caleb's. Lord, you know, it doesn't mean that we stick our head in the sand and pretend there are no giants, no big cities. Lord, it just means with you, anything is possible. May faith rise up in our hearts, and may fear dissipate. Lord, I pray for any hearts that are still clinging to the things of the world, still getting tripped up by bad habits, wrong decisions, wrong conversations. Lord, if we didn't circumcise our hearts last week, Lord, may we do it this morning. May we not get choked up by the things of the world. Lord, we want to pray for these other keys. Lord, that we would be a people of celebration, celebrating in the presence of our enemies. I want to pray for everybody, Lord, that is facing a challenge right now, and it feels like the devil is breathing down their necks. I know I'm one of them. But I thank you that right now, that tonight, that tomorrow morning, I can open up my Bible, I can put up a worship song, and I can come and sit down at the table and feed on who you are, on the table that you prepare, while my enemies watch and lose heart because they know you are with us. Father, I pray for us to celebrate on the plains of our Jerichos. May we not be scared. May we not be intimidated. Yeah, I just sense prophetically some of us are battling even with fear of man and what people will think. Just if we start testifying in the environments and the circles in which we move. And God is saying, let your enemies see you. Let your enemies hear you. May they hear you boasting about the goodness of God. Lord, I pray that fear of man would die in our midst. May we be a celebrating people in the midst of our enemy. Lord, may we celebrate constantly, regularly, even every day. May we celebrate the great Passover, the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. And so let's just do that right now. If I could just ask the ushers just to hand out the elements for us. We're going to celebrate that Passover this morning. Matthew 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Verse 27, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.